I would like to thank Buzz Jewell for blessing us with the accompaniment on the organ. And of course, we're always thankful for Kathy on the piano. It's just a special treat to be able to have Buzz here. And of course, you probably came in, saw a little bit of caution tape, saw the back pews with a bunch of stuff on the pews. We are in process of remodeling the foyer, and I'm hoping real soon it'll be accomplished. We have little elves, I guess, that come in at the night and during the week or something, and little bits get done. Well, of course, they're not elves. They're one or two folks that, as time permits, they've been coming in and they've put crown molding up in the foyer, and they put up chair row molding in the foyer, and they've done some caulking, and I see now there's some taping off because I think they're going to do some painting this week. But I just want to put out there that you are more than welcome to lend a hand. And it won't be just the foyer. There, it's kind of moving from there, and it's going to be coming forward a little bit, just a few things. Just so you all know, you'll probably see some different things happening back here, because we have a ramp for handicap, and we don't have any place for handicap to be. And so we're going to be working on that, as well as trying to move this area. And isn't it beautiful to have Corey and Lauren over here? Now they're all embarrassed. They're like, why did you do that, Pastor Kurt? We're not going to like you anymore or something, I don't know. But we're going to try to move all of this stuff back here, which is much more conducive for running sound and other things that we hope to be doing in the near future. And so you'll start, again, you'll see some more things going on. But again, you're also more than welcome to help. Now, who do you see about helping? And that's how I'm going to ask them. They don't know about this, but I'm going to go ahead and ask them. If they would, take a moment and stand. And we'll start with Tommy Thompson right here in the front. You could see Tommy Thompson about helping out. You could see Ms. Ethel Moore right here about helping out. And because his wife just recently had surgery, and he is actually going to fetch her to join us for our communion and then meal. Wayne Long, who I pointed out earlier, because he's also part of the personnel committee. Thank you all. We would love to have your help. So, there was a little boy who was known to be a pretty good kid. We'll call him Tom. Sure, he often talked too much in school, and he received numerous reprimands for it, but in spite of that, he was considered by most all to be a good boy. This boy's home was sweet and nurturing, and his parents were considered good Christians who shared the gospel with their children, and they made sure they all went to Sunday school, Sunday morning church, Sunday evening service, Wednesday night church, and any biblically programmed programs throughout the week, every week. For the formative parts of Tom's life, he attended a Christian school. They had excellent, God-fearing, Jesus-loving teachers, one of whom gave an opportunity for anyone in her class who needed to be saved, gave that opportunity every week. And guess what? Tom spoke with that teacher nearly every week about being saved. Like other little boys, at Tom's age, he loved stories of heroes who were tough and could win against all odds. And one of his favorite stories was that of Robin Hood. You know, the archer and swordsman who fought against the rich and gave to the poor. So when Tom played with his friends, he and his friends would play the heroes. And they would go out to vanquish some make-believe villain. And they would do so sometimes even dispatching him. But because of that, though, he never really thought of death and dying himself. At least not until he was 8 years old. pick this up later in the sermon. Today, for today's sermon, I'm going to do something a little different. Normally when I tell a story, an anecdote, a quote, I do it to bring attention to the main thrust of the sermon or to accentuate a particular point. But today I'm going to be telling the story of Tom throughout the sermon, and it may seem a little disjointed. It may not even seem to fit necessarily. But if you pay close attention, not to the story, but to the things in between the story, I think you'll see how it fits at the very end. Let's pray. Holy God, I just come with anticipation today because I know that you specifically laid this sermon and the way of telling your story today in this kind of different way. Lord, I know that, and I believe that there's somebody here that truly needs to hear the message from your word today, and I pray for your Holy Spirit to work in power, not in my words, not in the story of Tom, but in your story through scripture that will be presented today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, it's pretty easy to find because it's right after chapter 1 of Ephesians. Now, if you're flipping through the Bible, it's towards the end of the Bible in the New Testament, kind of midway through the New Testament a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start looking at verse 8. Now, these verses will be the central verses over the next weeks for a new series sermon that I'm preaching called The Purpose. Have you ever wondered what the purpose? Well, the purpose of what? Well, the purpose of your existence, the purpose of church, whatever it might be. The sermon series is called The Purpose. Today's sermon is entitled The Purpose of Being Found When Lost. So if you'll read along or follow along as I read Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 8. For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time, so that we should walk in them. The Apostle Paul makes the state of every human being before Almighty Creator Father God very clear. You can read then in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, where Paul is reiterating from the Old Testament, quoting, "There are none righteous, no, not one." Later on in chapter 3, verse 23, Paul states this. He says, "For all have sinned and come short of God's glory." There is not in the past, present, or future a person born of man that has equaled the glory of God. There is no one righteous. All are sinners. You see, God is perfect. He's holy. He will always be true to His nature. Therefore, He cannot ever allow even the minutest speck of sin into His heaven. Sin is any act against God. Now, I find this interesting when I give that definition, sin is any act against God. I have had responses, well, man, I'm not out there doing anything against God. How about if we together take a test today? Y'all ready? That's not a hard test. It's an easy test. I just ask everybody to be honest. How many of you ever in your life disobeyed mom or dad? Okay, see how easy that is? Yeah, it might be a little harder for the kids. Come on. Okay, all right, let's try this one. How many of you ever, in any way, shape, or form, have told a lie, half-truth, white lie? How many? By the way, if you're not raising your hand right now, you are lying. All right, how many of you have ever taken something that doesn't belong to you? Now, I'm talking about, it could be time. You know you wasted time at work. You stole time from your boss at work. It could be cheating on a test. It could be taking, you know, you found a quarter. You knew it was somebody else's, and you knew who it belonged to, but you went ahead and took that quarter. They won't miss it. How many of you have ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Oh. Guess what? Each one of those broke God's commands and makes each one of us disobedient, lying thieves.
Thank you.
Don't you like that? Hey, I'm with you. I've raised my hand for everyone. You see, any one of those things makes us unworthy of God's glory. Any one of those things puts us in the category of unrighteous. Any one of those things puts us in the category of being a sinner. If at any point, ever. That's the truth. I left the story of Tom with him never thinking about death or dying. And so to pick up where we left off, young Tom didn't think about death or dying until at age 8. He experienced the death of his grandfather, who he was very close to. And then within the year, two of his cousins he loved very much were killed by a drunk driver. In that same year, one of Tom's uncles, whom he had known and enjoyed, died. And before 2 years of the death of his first grandfather, his other grandfather died. Tom did not quite understand all this tragedy. But he started to understand death could happen to anyone. It was at this point that Tom did start to think about death and dying. But it still was not real to him. Not until... Well, we'll come back to the story in a moment. We're all worthy of God's wrath. Now, some of us may say, how is that? Well, you see, God made this world and humankind perfect, blemishless, and without sin. We can read about that in Genesis. God gave mankind, humankind, a choice. Because God didn't want robots to choose Him and holiness and His glory. He could have easily done that and made robots. No, God wanted to create something that could choose on its own. Now, some of you may say, yeah, but you know what? If Adam and Eve hadn't made the choice to disobey in pride, disobey God, then we'd all be perfect today. Well, I want you to think about yourself as I've thought about myself. You don't have to raise your hand on this, but think. Has there ever been a time when you knew the consequence? You had a way not to do something that you knew absolutely was wrong, and you did it anyway. Yeah. I know. Each one of us has to say yes to that. We're no different than Adam and Eve. No different at all. We'd have made the same choice. God wanted mankind, humankind, to choose Him and His ways. And so it's not without accident that God prepared a way for humankind to have a bridge back to Him in proper and right and sweet relationship with Him. And believe it or not, in Genesis chapter 3, we read about mankind's fall to sin. And in verse 15 of chapter 3, we read the first instance of God's preparation for a bridge back to relationship with Him. Isn't that beautiful? I think it is. It's amazing. But you see, because we are worthy of God's wrath, sin has to be, the debt of sin has to be paid. And we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the payment for our sin is death. That word death in the Greek is actually the word that denotes hell. So we could really read it, for the payment for sin is death and hell. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe my favorite word in all of Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, is the word but. I should say the conjunction but. That is a beautiful word if you think of it. Here we have written here that our payment, to pay the debt of our sin, even if it was just one tiny little speck of a sin, we still owe death and hell. Because God is that holy. But, isn't that a great word? But, God's gift to us is eternal life, being made right then through Jesus Christ. Man, that's beautiful. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, meaning the people of the world, that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. In the story about Tom, in a 2-year period, he lost both of his grandfathers, 2 cousins, and an uncle. But death was still not real. Tom is approximately 10 years old at this point, and he is everything a 10-year-old good boy should be. Tom loved hero stories, make-believing he was a hero, but there was something Tom loved even more than that. Tom loved animals. As a young boy, he's dreaming of someday having a zoo farm with every kind of animal you can think of in it as a pet. Even to the point of a swimming pool with a dolphin. Tom loved animals. But most of all, Tom loved dogs. Loved dogs, and especially loved his family dog, which was a beautiful, sweet collie sheepdog. And he played with her every day. He even had a special jacket that was ripped and torn that he would put on over his good clothes so they wouldn't get messed up, so he could go out and wrestle with his collie sheepdog. And she would grab at the cuffs of his jacket, which were tattered, and would pull him to the ground, and they just had a ball. But she was so rambunctious and so spunky, she loved to run. And so everyone had to be extra specially sure that all the gates to the backyard fence were latched. Well, one day Tom's brother was in the backyard, and he was in a hurry to get somewhere, and accidentally left one of the gates open. That evening, Tom went out to play with the family's beloved dog, and she was nowhere to be found. It was close to bedtime, and so Tom had to go to bed, but his dad and older brothers looked for the dog. Tom's sweet collie sheepdog was found. But she had been hit by a car and she was dead. She'd been killed that evening right in front of their house. For Tom's young mind and shallow understanding, this event culminated with the other events of loss. It made death real. In fact, death became a banished thought for Tom because he consciously began to fear death more than anything. And to make matters worse, he watched a movie entitled The Return of Robin Hood. Salvation cannot be had through our works or through any kind of goodness. Now, we read Ephesians 2:8 through 10. But even in the Old Testament, Isaiah, when confronted with the holiness of God, said this in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. He said, "All of us have become like something unclean, and all our works and good acts like a polluted garment. All of us wither like a leaf, and our sins carry us away like the wind." This was written in reference, again, in an understanding of God's holiness. So even good works that people do are like filthiness before God because He is that holy. Now, I'm going to jump ahead, and you'll have to come to future sermons to hear more of this, but you see, verse 10 of chapter 2 in Ephesians says, "But we were created in Christ Jesus for good works." Those works are holy and clean. But works we do of ourselves are not. So salvation, then, is exclusive. Folks, there are not many ways to God. Not all religions lead to God. In fact, no religion leads to God. There's only one way to gain God, to gain heaven. And He prescribed the way, and that's through Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, no one gets to heaven, except through me." Tom loved watching stories on television. And when his parents let him watch The Return of Robin Hood, oh, he couldn't wait. And you know what? The movie did not disappoint young Tom. Man, there were arrows flying, swords clashing, and men grappling in a life and death battle of good versus evil. And of course, good prevailed. But towards the end of the movie, Robin had been wounded. And he'd been taken to a convent where Lady Marian, his long love, nursed him. Only Robin didn't get better. The pain continued and worsened. And he was going to die. And in the movie, Lady Marian took matters into her own hands. And she concocted a poison. And she mixed it in a sweet drink. And she gave it to Robin to drink, and then she herself drank. And they died together. And that was the end of the movie. For Tom, this was too much. He had already experienced a lot of loss and death. Dying was at the forefront of his mind and in his fears. And now he sees a movie where a woman expresses her love for a man. And then poisons him. And he dies not from his wounds, but from the poison administered by this person expressing love. Tom's fear of death became a constant terror to him. He secretly endured this terror every day. He thought about Lady Marian loving Robin and then killing him with poison, and he transposed those thoughts toward his own mom. Tom began to think how much his mother spoke of loving him. He thought maybe she would poison him, like Lady Marian poisoned Robin. So Tom ate only enough to get by and keep anyone from suspicion. And when his mother would offer him candy, he would take it and then later throw it in the garbage. Tom had met his complete match. The fear of dying. Tom began to wonder if he would ever be able to enjoy life because of the consuming thoughts of dying. And for this 10-year-old boy, Tom, something had to give. Remember, God loves his creation, but he can't allow any blemishes into his presence. So the only way to heaven is through Jesus. As we heard from John 14:6. But God does love this world. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says that God demonstrates his love for us in this way, that while we're still sinners, while we're his enemies, he sent Jesus to die for us. So he didn't send Jesus to save a bunch of friends. He didn't send his only son to save his buddies. He sent his only son to save sinners, lost people, enemies. That's us, if we do not know Jesus. It was a beautiful summer Sunday morning, and Tom was up and ready an hour before he had to go to church, as he did most Sundays, because he loved watching a Sunday morning television program produced by a local Christian university, where most of his teachers went and his parents were employed. The speaker that day was a man Tom knew well because he and the speaker's son were friends. For the show, the speaker was sitting on his own back patio where Tom had played many times. Therefore, the setting helped draw Tom's attention. The speaker said something that rocked Tom's world. You see, we've seen the love of God, the Father, through John 3:16, Romans 5:8, and other passages. And we've seen his willingness to give up his son Jesus for our sake. But what about the action of Jesus on our behalf? I love this passage that we can read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Jesus, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. If you're wondering about the words that rocked Tom's world, then wonder no more. This is what Tom heard from the speaker. Often when a person is afraid to die, it is because they do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Tom did not hear or remember another word the rest of the day. Tom's thoughts were deep and all-consuming. After hearing what the speaker said, how could it be, Tom thought. I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior dozens of times. But is it true? Because I'm terrified of dying. Tom sang the hymns at church. He sat through the preaching. And then, the most amazing thing in all the world, past, present, or future, happened. Salvation is so simple. And I want you to hear my heart on this. Salvation is so simple that too many people miss it. It is so simple that too many people have gone through the motions of salvation and saying the right words and then attending church and all that, being baptized and all those things, and they still miss it. They miss it because of its simplicity. And I want to say to you today, if you don't have salvation, if you have not been found, then you are lost. And that lostness doesn't extend just through life, but through eternity as well. But God wants you to be found. Jesus wants to find you. And if it seems complex, please talk with me today. And with the Holy Spirit's help, I'll make it as simple and plain as absolutely possible through the Holy Scriptures. You see, Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, it says this. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, meaning, Jesus, be the boss of my life, be the commander of my life from this day forward, and completely trust in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Jesus is alive, you will be saved. You will have eternal life. For one trusts with the heart, resulting in being made righteous before God, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in humble submission for salvation. Simple. Don't miss out on eternity. Don't miss out on heaven because of a misunderstanding of the simple gospel. What happened to Tom caused a shout of jubilation louder than any mortal ear has ever heard. During the invitation time at church, that beautiful summer Sunday morning, Tom bowed and laid his head forward and laid his forehead on the hymnal in front of him. And he silently prayed words like these. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I deserve to spend eternity in hell. I'm terrified to die, and I know that you are my only escape. Please save me. Jesus, please be my Savior. At that moment, the angels shouted in jubilation, exalting the risen, living Savior, Jesus Christ. Because a once lost sinner had been found and redeemed. Tom, from that moment to the present, has not once feared dying or death. The bottom line is Tom realized the purpose of Jesus at his greatest moment of need, because Tom finally realized he was lost when Jesus found him, met him, and saved him. That is the purpose of being found when lost. My challenge for each of you is to remember the day when you realized you were lost, because the only time you can realize you're lost is when Jesus is finding you, meeting you, and wanting to save you. If you can't remember that moment, then let that moment be today. Let that moment be today. The little boy named Tom was set free. And I'm here to tell you all, that little boy Tom was me. Let's pray. Holy God. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for finding me. Because I was lost. And I was dying inside. Only waiting to die outside. Lord, I pray that each person here has that moment that they know that they know that they know that they were found by Jesus Christ. That they met you and that they are saved. But God, if there is even one person here that doesn't have that moment in their life, I pray that today will be their moment. Because there's nothing more important. Nothing, past, present, or future, more important than being found by you, my God, my Savior, Jesus. I pray that today will be a day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.